How about we honor our pastor as he comes up to give us another amazing message? Thank you for everything you do, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, it is good to see so many smiling faces. Thank you all for being here today. John, would you get me that podium over there? I've been using that lately, just letting this rest on there. That way I can use two hands when I talk instead of one. And 35, that's pretty amazing.
You want this out of the way?
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, Kurt's the 35, I think that's your hat size, isn't it? Anyway, we have so much fun messing with Kurt. Well, if you will, turn to John chapter 15. And while you're getting over to John chapter 15, I want to just tell a story I've told before, but it's my favorite Memorial Day story. So I just got to tell it again. One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed that little Alex was staring up at the large plaque that hung in the foyer of the church. The plaque was covered with the names and ranks of soldiers, and small American flags were mounted on either side of it. The 7-year-old had been staring at the plaque for some time, so the pastor walked up, stood beside the boy, and said quietly, "Good morning, Alex." "Good morning, Pastor," replied the young man, still focused on the plaque. He says, "Pastor, what is this?" He said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service." Soberly, they stood together, staring at the large plaque. Little Alex's voice was barely audible when he finally asked, "Which service, the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock?" That's definitely a dad joke. But I get the older I get, the more appropriate it is, right? Yeah, that's grandpa jokes now, right? John chapter 15, are you there? Let's look at verse 13 together. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Tomorrow's Memorial Day. And we make a weekend of it, most of us. How many of you have already been having some celebrations? It's a good time to do it. And it's become a family day, and that's a good thing too, because family's a big deal. But it's a day when we're supposed to take a moment and remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Some people get this confused a little bit, by the way, too. I even did once, you know, there's Veterans Day in the fall, there's Memorial Day now. So try not to celebrate a veteran today making him feel like he's dead. Okay, just don't do that. But you can celebrate a veteran, and we appreciate all that they've done, and especially those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. What an amazing thing. Many of us don't know anyone who actually gave their lives completely, the ultimate sacrifice. Isn't that interesting? When Memorial Day was first started, almost everyone knew someone. In fact, almost everyone was related to someone who had died in the service. How is that? Well, it was a different time. Do you know when the Memorial Day thing was started? Anybody got an idea? It was right after the Civil War, and they called it Decoration Day. And it was actually started by, from some people's accounts, ladies in the South. I find that interesting, but they recognized what had gone on, and again, so many people had lost someone in that war. So at least a friend that you were close to, if not a relative. And do you know that that war is still the highest, has the highest number of casualties for American soldiers in the history of all of our wars? In fact, I think it was just the last decade, that the number of casualties in all of our wars matched what happened in that war. All of our wars finally matched what happened in the Civil War. So you can imagine a much smaller population, and everybody had somebody who fought in that war, and they all had friends or family who died in that war. So most of us, as I said earlier, haven't had that. And, okay, it's kind of a problem and kind of a blessing. You know? I mean, I think it's a blessing that we haven't had that much experience with war, where so many of us, almost all of us, without exception, would know by name, had talked to somebody who died in a war. That's a blessing in a way. I'm glad that we're not having that many people fighting wars. So that's good. But it's a little bit of a problem because there's a temptation to become a little apathetic. It's a good temptation to have in a way again. But we maybe don't recognize what a blessing it is to have had people who were willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice, to pay that price, to lay down their life. Because there's something about that that's pretty powerful. How do I know? Because Jesus said it. No greater love has any man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend or his friends. Still, I think it's good for us to try to value those who have given lives for freedom, for the freedom that we have. And I think we need to be sure that we value all people and value the freedoms that we have even more because of what those people did. It's a big deal. And we need to remember that we ought to value all people, just like we ought to love all people. In fact, if we say we love them but we don't value them, I'm not sure we've really figured out what love really is. Because Jesus valued them. Do you have somebody you don't value? Do you have somebody that, whatever, I don't give a rip about them? It's just you don't have a master or a savior or a Lord or a God who feels that way. That's sobering, isn't it? And that God sent his only begotten son to die for a whole lot of people that sometimes, I don't know. I have a hard time with people. Do you have any hard times with people? I have a hard time with people sometimes. So I wanted to take you to 1 Corinthians today, chapter 13. It's a very well-trodden passage, but I wanted to look again, especially in the season that we're living in now, because a day doesn't go by, it seems like, when the news doesn't have different groups kind of just taking all the time that they have to spend hating on each other. And I think that this Memorial Day, we need to remember to love. We need to remember to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods, all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Truth is, there are some people who have made the ultimate sacrifice, but they're not guaranteed a place in paradise. If I die for the cause, but that's not because I have love, God's word says I'm a loser. I'm nothing. Wow. And some have, I think, died fighting a good fight but their heart wasn't right. In fact, if I do anything, say anything. Say it again, anything. If I do anything, even work miracles, but I don't have love, it's all for nothing. I've told this story before, but I think it's so illustrative for today's message that I want to tell it again, and maybe you'll remember it and maybe you won't, but a Bethel student, I heard Bill tell this story. A Bethel student knelt down beside a woman in a wheelchair and began talking to her. And they talked for quite a while before the student asked if she could pray for the woman. At this point, the woman said, "You're a Bethel student, aren't you?" Surprised, the student said that she was, and the woman told her that she had been prayed for many times by Bethel students, but that none of them had ever taken the time to just talk to her. By the way, when they talked about that in the service that I was in, they were saying, "We're making an adjustment." And that's a little bit of what we're doing today. It's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. Sometimes we need to adjust ourselves a little bit. Why? Because we're doing something wrong? No, maybe we're trying to do the right thing, but maybe we can do it better. Sometimes I think we try really hard to do the stuff, and then we forget that we are representatives of his nature. Jesus never did anything outside of his nature. And he was God made manifest on the earth. And that means his nature was love. Because God is love. It's not that we shouldn't try to do the stuff. It's just that if we're going to do the stuff, let's do it with all the love that we've got. In fact, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from praying for people and prophesying over people and ministering to people and trying to get a word of knowledge. I want to encourage that all I can. But don't do it just so you can, you know, look what I did. Or, wow, you know, people will think I'm amazing. We have values that make us want to have a Memorial Day, and that's great. But if the things on Memorial Day don't translate to bringing value to people the rest of the year, maybe we're missing something. We need to value people. By the way, I mentioned that this is another message for another day maybe, but you're a representative of his kingdom, right? I was so excited to find out recently that I'm a pope. You didn't know that? You're a pope too. Well, I don't know if you're a pope. If you're a lady, you might not be a pope. You might be a mope. Because pope means papa. So I don't know if you can be a papa and you're a lady. You may maybe be mama, so maybe that makes you a mope instead of a pope. I don't know. But here's the thing. I heard them say when they put the new pope in that he was the representative of God on earth, and it hit me. So am I. I didn't know I was a pope. But I am. So when I represent God, I want to represent him well. Right? I want to be that person who walks around looking for opportunities to value people, and then I can't value them if I don't treat them with the kind of love that he's given us all to give, because it's the kind of love we've received. Freely you have received, freely give. In Luke chapter 7, there's a little story, and I really like this, and I think it'll fit today. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him. Everybody say dear to him. Was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and helped build our synagogue. That's what they told him. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but I say the word, and my servant will be healed. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble reading today. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that had followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, who had been sick. I really wanted to read that for that line that said he was dear to him. He was dear to him. I found it in another version, the NLT, New Living Translation, and it said, at that time, a highly valued slave from a Roman officer was sick and near death. Valued. Valued. The guy didn't have value for himself as much as he had value for this person. He didn't value himself enough to feel like he could approach Jesus and say, you need to come do this. He wasn't being demanding. He was just being a guy who cared. And he had value for this person. And Jesus loved that. And he loved the faith of the man. The interesting thing about this word for value in the one version and dear in the other one is that it comes from the Greek word from which my name comes. The Greek word timos. And it's defined as valuing by which the piece is fixed of the price itself, of the price paid or received for a person or thing bought or sold. Honor is the other way it's often translated, which belongs to or is shown to one, of honor, which has by reason of rank and state or office which he holds. Deference, reverence. And in 1 Peter, it's interesting that this word is twice translated precious. I don't know. I get the feeling sometimes we don't feel very successful at doing the stuff that God's given us to do. Do you ever struggle with that? Like, I know I'm supposed to, you know, do the stuff that Jesus did, but I, the stuff that Jesus did was pretty amazing, and I don't know that I can do the stuff that Jesus did. But we some of us try, and some of you have tried, and it didn't go exactly the way you thought it was supposed to. And you got frustrated, and now you're a little gun shy, and all that kind of stuff. But you see, I tell you how to get back to doing the stuff. The best way to get back to doing the stuff is looking for someone to love and honor and value. Someone that you can just make, even if it doesn't seem all that prophetic or all that supernatural. But you know what's amazing? Is when you start acting that way, you start really, you see someone and you think, I need to do something to just bless them, to honor them, to show them value, to show them the love of God. And you start to do that. Holy Spirit loves to join in with that. See, if I just go out and I want to prophesy over somebody, there's been times when I'm sitting at the table at a restaurant with a whole bunch of people and I end up giving a word of prophecy to somebody. But every once in a while I feel like, oh, it's you better prophesy now so they can see you do it. No, that's not the right reason. That person needs ministered to, and if I can't see that I can love on that, I don't need to do it to show the rest of the congregation how to do it. Not that that's not okay, that they see me how, you know. You see, can you understand the difference? I recognize that if I value that person, that the Holy Spirit's going to come on board with me and help me show them how much he values them. That's exciting. I want to do that. So, how about a couple of ideas? Sometimes it's like, well, I'd really like to have that thing happen where I, You know, I do that. I'd really like to have more of that happen in my life. I'd like to see that happen some more, and I just don't know how to do it. Well, I'm going to give you some practice ideas. You ready? Practice ideas. Oh, yeah, practice ideas. Because you can value people, and you get a lot of opportunities to do it. Sometimes you just don't see the opportunity. Like, here's one way I've been practicing. Do you ever get phone calls from numbers that you don't know who they are? No. Really, that happens to you too? Do they try to sell you something that you really don't want? Do they call you when it's supper time and you're trying to eat and you just want to hang up, or maybe you do? I have. What if you could make that person feel valued? What if they're calling you and they don't know it and you don't know it, but it's a divine appointment? They could even be intentionally trying to cheat you, but you could cheat the devil. So instead of getting frustrated with a customer service person or somebody who calls me, I just try to practice. I see if God will give me anything for him. I interrupt him sometimes and I say, "Do you know Jesus?" By the way, I'm getting less calls, but because if you can't, you know, you ask him to put you on the do not call list and they add you to 10 lists. But you start preaching Jesus to them and the devil takes you off of their list. He's like, "No, no, I can't have that guy on that list." So I just see if I can come up with a word for him. I just ask the Lord if he's got anything to say. You know, what's it going to hurt? If I'm wrong, a scammer calls me and I'm wrong, they'll just feel like I'm scamming them back. But what if I get it right? And some of you remember years ago, there was a guy who tried to do that through the email, and I ended up going back and forth with him. No, it was actually Facebook. He was trying to give me $10 million that somebody named Hacker left me in Togo. I ended up getting a word of knowledge, and he and I had a really good conversation after that. I've still got it saved in my computer someplace. It's kind of fun. I do this a lot now, too. When I get a hold of a customer service person, which is almost impossible to do, had a problem over the last month trying to get a customer service situation straightened out. But I try to tell the person that I'm talking to or that I'm typing to how much I appreciate them giving me some time right now, because I really can't figure this out on my own and I need their help. And then I just try to explain what I need and then say, you know, if you can fix this for me, you'll be a rock star. It's what I just got done telling Vlad this week. I bought a thing that allowed me, I got on an app that allowed me to go through the car wash on the north side of town. So all I have to do is just doot, 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 and then hold the thing up when I go past, and it just lets me go in. By the way, all the washes I want in a month for $16. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So I was going to extra washes, you know. But I didn't like having to stick it out the window. And one of the guys there says, "Well, you can just get this little RFID chip and put it on the inside of your, a sticker on the inside of your window." And he says, "You walk up to the membership side and it sees you and just opens the door and you just go on in. You don't even have to try to dial it up on an app." And I thought, that would be great. So I tried to cancel it on the app. They kept charging me. So I finally got a hold of Vlad, and Vlad and I, through email only, went back and forth a little bit, but Vlad was being helpful, and I told Vlad how happy I was, because at first I couldn't get hold of, you know how it is, they want to send you to an automated thing, and they want you to do it for them, but I did what they told me, and it still didn't work, so I had to have a human. Vlad got me taken care of, refunded the $16 from April and from May, and told me just go ahead now and go in there, and they'll fix me up at the place. And I won't have to use the little app anymore. I told Vlad he was a rock star. Who do I, just give me an email of somebody I can send a note to tell him how amazing you are. He didn't, but I would have if he'd let me. And then I got this little thing back. You know how they have these automated things that just, you know, you get a response from them and say, how did we do? And I sent him thing back. I said, Vlad was the best person ever. And I think that was good for Vlad. Now, did I get to prophesy over him? I didn't really find the right window for that. I'm not sure how good I would be at prophesying over email, but I did tell one guy a while back, I said, you're going to be a, I can tell, you've got this figured out. God's going to give you a raise. He's going to bless you. Never found out whether he did or not, but I sure encouraged him. He said, thank you. You could tell. It made a difference. That was a live call, by the way. So here's another one. Are we patient at restaurants with our servers? Are we aware when they don't get to us in time that maybe they're having a bad day, and are we thinking immediately to value them and to tell them something that they need to hear to encourage them? Or are we ready to just say, what's taking so long? Have you ever thought of saying, how can I help? Maybe you got some ideas on some of this. You should share them with each other. What if you prayed that their hectic day would just get better? What if you just began to pray, the whole table, join hands, pray for the guy? Not because you want your food, but because you want him to have a better day. Because sometimes your servers get behind and they're having a tough day. And it's not always their fault. And here's a little side thought with this. Instead of expecting them to serve you and being disappointed that they weren't doing it right, what if you laid down your life, your right to be served in a timely fashion? What if you laid down your life for them? Yeah, nobody's asking you to die. Pastor Tim asked us to go to the restaurant and give our lives, so we died there. No, but you could give up a little bit of your life, just a little bit. A little bit of the attitude, you know, and just love on them. And maybe ask them if you can pray for something. And maybe then the Lord will, seeing your love, give you a word for them. It's a pretty amazing thought. By the way, have you ever thanked a police officer for giving you a ticket? I did. We were sitting at a light on our way to see family in Southern Ohio. And I pulled up behind this Honda. Shandala Honda. Anyway, I pulled up behind a Honda and the light changed and all the cars beside me rushed. And I just let my foot off the brake. I didn't realize that the sweet young lady in front of me was probably texting. And all happened was I just went forward a little bit and bumped her. And then we're holding stuff up because she slams on her brake and puts it, you know, in park or whatever. She just, and then she gets out and we look at it and there's nothing there. So she calls her mom and her mom says, no, have a police officer come right now. So we pulled off the 4-lane. The police officer comes. He goes, yeah, I'm going to have to write you a ticket. I said, well, thank you for doing your job, sir. I appreciate that. And then before he was done, he looked at everything. He says, there's not a mark. He says, there's no reason to do anything, but he says, I'm going to have to write you a ticket. I said, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you for doing your job. And then before I was done, I prayed for him. Because when he got down to look at her thing, I saw him go, oh, his back hurt. I says, I saw you wince. He goes, yeah, my back is, can I pray for you? And he's like, what? And I prayed for him right there. Hey, school kids, by the way. Are there any school kids? Well, most of the kids are in the back, but here's an idea. Thank a janitor sometime and make them feel valued. Thank a Beth Bachman, one of the people who works to make sure you've got food. Instead of whining about what they've got, thank them. By the way, my son gained a ton of weight when we moved to Bicknell because he would thank the girls that were working in the line, and they doubled him up every time he came. It's Josh. Give him extra food. Thank goodness it didn't stay pudgy. You know, he turned it into muscle, but man, he gained up. He doubled in size almost the first 2 years he was there. Because he would just say, that's so good. Thank you. Crazy thing. So in wrapping this up, I want to think about one more verse or a couple more verses here, but a thought that goes with both of them. John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I've talked about this before, but this is a big deal to me. It's a big deal for Christians that I know to understand this. Because if I can't connect with my brother whom I've seen, how good am I at really connecting with God who I haven't seen? Well, it didn't say connect. It said love. What do you think the purpose of love is? I like this phrase. This might be worth you writing down. My level of relationship with God will never exceed my level of relationship with God's people. Some people say that's not true, but I believe it is. My level of relationship with God will never exceed my level of relationship with God's people. Because if I can't love the people who I have seen, how do I love God who I have not seen? Well, I'll tell you why we think we love God more, because we believe God can't mess up. So we don't want to love people who we know that have messed up, because they mess up. Humans, they're a problem. But I trust God. That is until your lack of trust in people eventually causes you to mistrust God. And I've seen people do that. They seem to love God for years and years and years, but there's something about unforgiveness and other things that play into it. The next thing you know, they're mad at God. They don't trust God anymore. So my level of relationship with God will never exceed my level of relationship with God's people. If I want to have more of a relationship with God, I've got to learn to do what he told me to do. And that's to value the people that he's put in my life and value the people that he loves. So I like to think of it this way. The evidence of my relationship with God is demonstrated in how well I relate with the people that Jesus died to redeem, not in the miracles I perform. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to discourage you from laying hands on the sick, from trying to raise the dead, you know, raising the dead. In fact, a couple of people in this room have done it. I'm not trying to discourage you from doing the stuff. But if you do the stuff just for the sake of doing the stuff, you might be in a little bit of trouble. And here's a little bit of something to think about. Again, what did we read earlier from 1 Corinthians? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It's not that I want you to stop doing the stuff. It's just that I want you to bring love into it so you can do the stuff better. Do the stuff better. Final verse, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Don't stop doing the stuff. Do the stuff. But you'll do it better if you do it in love. Remember to love. This Memorial Day, I want you to remember to love. I want you to remember to love somebody. They don't deserve it, by the way. And neither do you. Right? Remember to love. Because it's a big deal. I love you guys. As I close today, I just want to mention that I know some of you came because this is my last Sunday as the senior leader of the house. After that, I'm just the pastor emeritus. Which means I'll still be in here early on Sunday mornings getting the sound system cranked up and things going. And for as long as the Lord will let me, I'll do a lot of fun things. But over the next few weeks, I've been encouraging our new pastor to be ready to speak a lot. That'll be her call. But I know there'll be some people who want to come and check her out. They'll hear, did you hear what happened? Bethel finally got rid of that old bird, and now they've got this young woman. She's amazing. You should go hear her. And I don't want them to come to hear her and see me. Oh, that guy again. But I want you to value this time as well. Because this is a time when it's good for us to let people know they should come check out what's going on. You know, they should come and see what's happening. Because I greatly value what God has done. I have great expectation of ongoing amazing things. In fact, I'm a little bit ticked because they're building a factory out here, and now that means more traffic out this way. I could have made this church grow. But that's not what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. So this week, I want you to remember to love. And then I also want you, if you get a chance, tell somebody that they should come next Sunday, June 1st, and see what God's starting to do here in this place. Amen? All right, stand up. I'm going to pray for you. I'm sure some of you are ready to go get some food, barbecue, whatever. And look at that. Pastor Tim's doing good. It's 11:25. Signs and wonders. Hold out your hands in front of you like this. Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill these hands and the hearts and the minds of those that those hands belong to. I ask you to fill us with your love, that we would look around and find people to love, because there are so many people who need it. There are so many people who don't feel valued, who don't feel love. And Lord, I know that if we start loving on people the way you want us to, if we remember to love, that you're going to get right in the middle of that and do amazing things that will show them not just our love, but your love, something beyond this world. And so we ask you to fill each and every one of us with more and more and more and more of what you've already given to us, love, but more and more and more love that we can learn to give as your representatives on this planet. And so we thank you for it, Father, and believe that you're going to do that for each and every person in this room who loves you and who you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you,
give somebody a big hug and a high five and enjoy the rest of this Memorial Day weekend.